On this episode of the TDC, the Droning Company podcast, I am joined by the one, the only, Wayne Baker from DJI. Wayne, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on here.
Of course, yeah. We were excited when you agreed to be on. You know, definitely a very prominent person in the industry, Wayne Baker is. And so, you know, we've developed a great relationship as well. And not just a prominent person in the industry for us here at the Droning Company, but a friend of the Droning Company as well. So thank you for taking the time to be here with us. You know, let's first of all, for people that don't know who Wayne Baker is, which is kind of mind-blowing, give us a little bit of background. You know, tell us about how you started or where you started and how that brought you into the world of drones.
Well, as you can first see, I'm no John McBride.
You're way more handsome.
Oh, I don't know. He's got the hair, so... you know, mine's just great. I started out, you know, I get called Chief. If anybody hears me out there being called Chief, I still haven't regained my name. I still have that title, but I was a fire chief for 10 years, for a small city, south of Fort Worth, firefighter for 26 years, firefighter paramedic, and the last 10 is chief, fire chief, emergency management coordinator. And it's really there that I started my transition about 2014 into working with drones, you know, seeking out technology that would make firefighters safer was a key thing. And drones were it. It took me a little while to find products that my small budget could afford and be able to utilize and staff. The best way we did that was really through a civilian pilot by the name of Garrett Brill. I don't want to give him any more ego boosting than that right now, but he did a lot of great work and escaped scientist from rocket scientist from NASA, as I call him, but did a lot for the public safety drone community as well as the drone community out there, as well as DJI. So, you know, we worked with DJI, starting, you know, with Randall Warnes, and then Romeo Dersher and I developed a great relationship with a lot of things we were doing, utilizing the Inspire 1 for water rescues. And then, you know, finally, about 5 years ago almost, I got my dream of retiring from public service and able to go to DJI where, you know... It was great because, you know, I know I had an impact on a community, you know, this big, and now I'm helping on a global scale. Yeah. So it's great to be able to do what I can to make our world a better place, a safer place, not just in that little, you know, wonderful community, but now to be able to help around the world is just fabulous.
Yeah. And that's, I'd just say, getting into the world of drones, that has been my favorite thing about it, is just how helpful the technology is, whether it's on a scale that is more life and death, where you're trying to, you know, respond to a missing person or a critical situation, or just helping somebody figure out if they need to replace their roof. I mean, drones are extremely helpful pieces of technology that make it easy to help people, if I'm being completely honest. And, you know, that sort of brings me to what I want to talk about today on this second episode of the Droning Company's podcast, the TDC podcast, is there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of drones when it comes to legislation, and namely legislating out Chinese drone manufacturers, namely DJI. You know, this is a really critical time right now. And I think it's being lost on some people because there's complacency in that, oh, they'll never get rid of DJI. They'll never legislate DJI out. They couldn't do that. There's no way they could possibly do that. From a principality standpoint, I agree. But from a practical standpoint, I disagree. I think that that's a complacent point of view. So I guess what I want to start with is, what is DJI's response to some of this legislation? I mean, obviously, it has to be a position where you're trying to quell any type of concern, suspicion, whatever the case may be.
Well, I would first start with, you know, it's disappointing as a conservative Texan you know, father of a, excuse me, son of a career military person. My father was in the U.S. Navy for 30 years. I spent 23 of those years without ever putting a uniform on. But to see really an attack on our free enterprise, our free market, for unfounded reasons, reasons that have never been proven. In fact, the opposite, in our case, in DJI's case, nobody has been scrutinized. Nobody's been scrutinized, but DJI. And we have on numerous occasions been proven to be, reliable. And we, you know, we adhere to the strictest data security standards, and that's been shown time again, even by the U.S. government, you know, Department of Interior and Department of Defense. Granted, Department of Defense's report that said we pose no malicious threat was yanked the next day for political reasons. But it was out there showing we were not a threat. You know, so we have time and again shown that we want to do our due diligence to make sure at a base, make sure our customers' data is secure. You know, we're not a software company, we're a hardware company, but we do utilize software internally created to give the functionality to our equipment that our users trust. So securing any of their data is very important. And there's a lot of different ways real quick that we can do that. Please bear with me. I'm building up to it. But, you know, first of all, you could go into local data mode. There's different ways you can lock down different data resources that are used on your drone. One of them being local data mode that locks all resources out. Or you can have others you can opt in and out of. Or just utilize our equipment without an internet connection. Unlike some manufacturers, we do not have to have an internet connection to fly. And if you choose to, excuse me, another option is, okay, utilize a third-party connection, as in utilize a Wi-Fi hotspot. Never connect, you know, as a fire chief, just talking last week with other public safety individuals, I've worked for several cities, a state agency, county. Data security is at the forefront of everyone's mind, not, you know, from the police officer on the street on up. You're constantly being given data security warnings and good practices to follow. That's because of the, you know, I had patient care reports. Law enforcement has, you know, records, crime records, things like that, that they have to keep protected in the interest of fair and equal justice. So, you know, we just had the FBI and CISA come out with a really great memo that outlined a lot of good data hygiene steps that agencies already follow, but it's also good for businesses to look at and follow as well to protect, and customers to protect their information. And then I will also add in there with more and more with our drones, we've moved to individual smart quote unquote controllers where there's no, again, you can fly it with a hotspot that's never connecting to your network. You don't have to put any information in there. So what data is going in to come out? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just a lot of different ways that we empower our customers to be able to protect themselves. And again, you know, we're constantly adhering to the strictest data security standards and protocols and are always looking to have our equipment evaluated. And in fact, we also just put up the Trust Center website that has a lot of information and resources for customers, data managers, things like that. So when you look at all of this, and then that's the biggest thing that we're coming under scrutiny for by legislators, What we see is a lot of it is a lack of education by the industry to these legislatures, legislatures, state and U.S. government, as well as the legislators, of what the technology can and can't do, does and does not do. So that's a big part is, you know, we're working with our government relations team to help have those meetings, those connections to say, here's what the technology as a whole, not just DJI, is able to do, because some of the legislation impacts and is not company targeted, but impacts the customer's use of this.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So then we look at, you know, we also want to, you know, give those resources to our customers to be able to educate as well, you know, how these legislative issues will impact small businesses to large businesses. And one avenue is the Drone Advocacy Alliance. We encourage businesses to become a part of that, you know, show a unified front, you know, many voices in one location to say, you know, I've got a small business that I would not have been able to have were it not for this. There's a young TikToker, Kyla Neebs, I hope I'm saying her name right, that she has started her own business. She's out there spraying crops with her Agris drone. She's helping on her TikTok channel show people how to do it themselves. You know, this young woman that has a huge drive to succeed, and we want to take that away from her. I think that's really, again, goes back to that's not American, that's not free trade, that's not a free open market. You know, there are other ways to accomplish what they want to accomplish, and I understand a lot of the concerns. I just don't think the approach is right, and unfortunately, it's looking more and more like a modern day McCarthyism.
Yeah.
You know, and again, going back to what we're doing, we're trying to, you know, educate legislators, our customers, you know, that not only is there not a risk, but how with any technology, including these that are made in other countries, how to help secure your data. So there's a lot to that, a lot more to that. We're trying to engage the customer so they understand the threat that they're under. We're trying to engage legislators so they have a better picture of what it is, you know, address the fears they have, obviously. You know, we want them to be assured that we're a trusted name and product. But then also we've offered, you know, what about this to reach those goals that you have. And I'll also mention some other ways real quick that you can help, you know, make sure you're secure, and that's using third-party software. Everything from, you know, Pix4D, you know, when you're using them, ways you can compartmentalize, utilizing, you know, computers that are not on your normal network. If you're utilizing, you know, a drone, taking an SD card out of it and putting it into that computer, it's not going to touch your network. Utilizing DroneSense just to fly the aircraft, or another product to use, the, you know, Aloft, use their software to fly the aircraft, again, adding another layer of protection. So there's a lot of ways out there that I would just really quickly add, as I'm mentioning these other companies, I'm also mentioning an ecosystem of other products that are going to be affected. Businesses, a Texas company, DroneSense, Paladin, another Texas company that would be adversely impacted by again, not the proper approach to how to mitigate hazards.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's something that I think is very short-sighted in the long run when it comes to the people making these decisions, and the not just the people making the decisions, but the people lobbying for those people to make the decisions, is how short-sighted this is. Look, the fact remains, DJI is at the top of the food chain when it comes to drone technology. And I use that term maybe not so accurately, because DJI is not seeking to eat anybody. But when it comes to the quality of the product they put out, they, in my opinion, they're number one. It's efficient, it's affordable. They check a lot of boxes that you look for as a business owner and somebody that utilizes drones. But it doesn't just stop at DJI. A lot of these bans are focused on DJI. And to your point, you know, DJI has been scrutinized, and I'm not bringing this up in a way that is malicious against this company, because I've got a great relationship with them, is Autel Robotics. There's this common misconception that Autel Robotics, still to this day, years after the rumor started, that they're an American company. They're not. They're right across the street in Shenzhen from DJI. It's a Chinese company. But they've not, to my knowledge, faced the same level of scrutiny that DJI has. So it is unfair from that perspective, and I have to point that out. But that also brings me to my point that I was originally trying to make. This doesn't stop at DJI. This continues into Chinese components. And when you look at some of the manufacturers in the Western world, whether it's a European manufacturer, whether it's the United States, Canada, wherever, a lot of those companies that are manufacturing drones to compete with DJI and to provide an alternative solution from DJI are utilizing Chinese components that are not going to be allowed to be used anymore. So what does that do? First of all, it completely stops the momentum that the drone industry has. Second of all, it makes it way more expensive to source those products, source those parts, and distribute them. So it makes the technology less attainable. And there's just a lot of problems with it. And if you're not taking that seriously, take it seriously, because it has a ripple effect that goes beyond just not being able to fly a Mini 3 or a Mini 4. It's going to be pretty widespread. So in terms of what DJI is doing to you talk about the trust center. Are there other steps that DJI is taking to sort of reassure the United States government, the people of the United States, that there's nothing fishy going on behind the scenes? Is there anything that DJI is doing to make that apparent, make that more clear?
Absolutely. You know, again, we're constantly trying to engage with legislators to say, you know, we understand your concerns, but, you know, we utilize, take one for example, when they move past, we're sending data back to wherever, and we've had that proven to not be true time and time again. The next is, well, they could be forced to do XYZ by Chinese law. And for one thing, you know, if you choose to share your data with DJI in the U.S., it goes to Amazon Web Servers. So, you know, we try and take steps to ensure data is secure in the U.S. for U.S. customers. You know, we're a global company. We follow the laws of every country we operate in. And so, in some ways, those laws affect, U.S. laws affect other countries, such as some of our restrictions on sales to areas or customers we adhere to in other countries based on U.S. law. So there's those different facets that we look at. And then again, you know, to that point on laws, we would fight to protect U.S. customers in China or other countries to protect their interests, their data, just as we would fight for Chinese customers in U.S. Courts to protect them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could easily be, we've seen where the U.S. government recently has been granted just incredible ability to, without a warrant, access data from social media of U.S. U.S. citizens. So we would similarly fight here for U.S. citizens as we would in other countries. So then the next argument you kind of touched on, I just want a real quick catch, is affordability and cost. Mm-hmm. You know, DJI was one of the first to market, and at the time, we were the most expensive. So what we saw is now U.S. market come in at, for whatever reason, higher prices than us, and now the argument is, well, we're keeping prices low. We've always had affordable prices. In my opinion, I wish some of our enterprise products were more affordable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just talking about the H30 that came out last week. I'm not in detail on prices. I'm not a part of sales, but people were asking me before we announced the price last week, how much do you think? And I'm saying I'm going to go with $14,000 to $16,000, and apparently it came in less than that. I don't know for sure the price, so I don't want to mention it and say wrong, but it came in lower, and I'm always surprised at that. But, you know, what we're seeing now is one legislation in particular, the drones for first responders, mm-hmm. That some organizations are really in support of, but have not looked at the impact or considered the impact that I think it poses to customers. And one of those is to bring up foreign-made drone prices to the U.S. market level, and that's not going to come back down. The U.S. market doesn't bring prices back down. No. Once they're up, they're up. The only place that I've ever really seen prices fluctuate is fuel, and that's too high right now for me. So what we're looking at is this drones for first responders setting a new price bar. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be unfortunate for, you know, also I know I've seen some talk about how it's making the U.S. drone small business pay for U.S. drone companies development. I don't think that's the right or fair way to handle this. If we're wanting to help bolster the U.S. drone economy, which, you know, drone manufacturers, I'm for that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it needs to be at the cost of the consumer that is currently driving the industry right now. That damages, as you kind of alluded to, the industry as a whole. Not to mention, you know, I go back to, you know, we're excluding a product that's reliable now, saving lives now, that we even saw last week, the New York Police Commissioner, Deputy Police Commissioner, say that they have evaluated and mitigated their data security threats. So if there's no threat now, why does there need to be a ban in the future? Why? You know, and again, going back to that hearing last week, the only thing they could bring up as evidence of an issue was a 7-year-old FBI memo that brought up good concerns for all electronic products, not just drones and not just DJI drones, something that people should have evaluated all their electronics for. And again, going back to the FBI CISA memo, good data hygiene for everybody. But that is the evidence they have. There's never been any proof. It's always could be's or maybe's. And we're going to disrupt lives and businesses. You know, we're going to take life-saving products out of the hands of public safety. Destroy these small businesses for what ifs and maybes. And this is very, very, as an American, as a Texan, honestly, first a lot of times, this is very disappointing. So,
yeah. And, you know, we just recorded an episode for the LTD podcast, my podcast. If you want to go check that out, it's posted over on the Drone Geeks YouTube channel, as well as on Spotify and Apple podcasts. A little less focused than this episode. We talk about a little bit more. But in that conversation, we talk about how un-American everything seems to be trending right now in terms of how we're handling this. And to your point, there aren't many situations where a price is brought up and then it's brought back down. Not that I can recollect or remember in my lifespan. it's just funny to me and a little bit ironic that this is going the way it is, because on one hand, we're taking this very un-American avenue, this anti-capitalist avenue of legislating, it seems so anyway, legislating out, you know, companies from the market. But on the other hand, when people raise the issue of, well, everything's going to be like 3 or 4 times more expensive, we can't afford to purchase American-made or Western-made drones, you know, the immediate response is, well, over time, that technology, that price of technology will come down. And I just don't see that happening. At least at a rate at which can sustain a lot of the small businesses that have used drone technology to build their company up. So it's just a very odd time right now. And the droning company has done pieces on this before. We've talked about this in depth before. The decision makers that are ultimately the ones that are passing these laws or attempting to pass these laws, I think are woefully misinformed. Elise Stefanik is one of the legislators that's doing this, that's really the full head of steam behind some of this legislation. When you listen to her talk, or you read statements that come out of her office about this particular legislation, you can sort of tell she's got a very surface level understanding of drone technology as a whole. So it's a scary thing to sit by and watch somebody like that make decisions that are going to dictate the futures of many, many business people and first to market folks that are using this technology and trying to figure out what it can be used for. So that said, and talking about being woefully misinformed, I do want to talk to you about and ask what DJI is doing to not just address, we've already sort of beat that horse, address the concerns, but what education steps are you taking to work with people in the United States, and whether they're Congress, whether they're House representatives, or you know, people that just have concerns about Chinese drone technology? What are you doing to educate them and help them understand better how everything works?
No, absolutely. That and you mentioned it. You know, there's a lot of things that I really like that I've seen Stefanik talk about and mention. This is one where I truly hope and believe that she's just unfortunately been fed a lot of anything from misinformation to prevarication that she hasn't had a chance to fully be able to get educated on. I feel she would be making different decisions. And I think she's trying. I think I will say drones for first responders, there are ways she's trying to lessen an impact, but unfortunately, being given guidance by people with their own vested interest, that haven't themselves looked at the impact again, as I mentioned. So one of the things we're trying to do is, again, we have our government relations team, David McGoldrick, and Daniel Hoff, that are out there really trying to engage lawmakers, and it's not, you know, the conversations aren't about, oh, you know, don't ban DJI. You know, we really want to be here. The conversations are, this is damaging for the industry. Mm-hmm. Yes, it will impact DJI severely, but this is damaging for the industry. And here is actually what the technology is and does across the board. So it's not just, you know, they're not engaging just to try and save DJI. We're out there working for the industry. You know, you mentioned Autel. Unfortunately, Autel is, we saw last week in the hearing, they're becoming a target as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we, again, just real quick, the damage to the industry, when you look at what happened in Florida when they banned the use of foreign-made drones in Florida, through nothing more than sheer laziness, DMS came out with a approved list that was a copied and pasted old Blue UAS list. And that adversely affected U.S. drone manufacturers, to where now there were only a few select companies on that list that were able to be purchased by Florida users. So these things don't just stifle the target, DJI or whoever. the impact beyond that. Now I know Florida has since made changes, but unfortunately at the time that was extremely upsetting to me as a first responder to see what they were, or former now, I like to say, first responder to what they did to them across the state and how that directly threatened lives that would have ultimately been saved. So we're trying to educate there. The other is, you know, we for too long have tried to stay silent and hope that clearer heads will prevail. That's not happening. So we're trying to get out there and engage more with customers. That's part of my shift in job roles was, you know, I engage with not just public safety customers anymore. They are an important segment of our business and my time and my focus, but average customers as well. Anyone that uses our equipment for vacation videos and photos that are memories that, you know, you can capture, keep, and heaven forbid you lose a loved one, you have those memories now. The first house fire I went on that I saw someone lose their house, it still sticks with me today because, you know, when we got there were walls and roofs standing, and unfortunately, attic fires are some of the worst to fight, and we lost the house. Add to it rural water supply issues. But one of the things we asked them that I learned as a rookie firefighter is if there's anything we can save out of this house, what is it? And they said, in this safe, here's a combination. We have pictures of our daughter we lost to cancer. And we were able to get in there and save them. They said they didn't care about the house. Saving those were so important. So having those memories, or the ability to capture those memories in better ways is important, those experiences. And then I've also mentioned, you know, engaging the small business owners and the impact that is out there to where it could drive their costs up to do a business that may only cost, you know, less than $50,000 now, could cost 3-4 times that in the future. Yeah. That stops the progression because now it's less likely for, you know, minority owned businesses to be able to thrive. I've seen that impact in some of the rules by, you know, companies in California because of critical infrastructure concerns that were never really, in my opinion, valid, and stifled a business there. Not only to come into the market, but stay in the market. Sure. And that is all where we're trying to get the information out, educate, and get customers to look at, like the Drone Advocacy Alliance. I believe I may have mentioned earlier, but Vic Moss and others have started up this Drone Advocacy Alliance that they are now engaging with legislators to say, here's what you could do to this industry, not this company that's your target, not this country that's your target, the industry in the U.S. and help them have a voice, a united voice, to be able to say, you know, there's a better way. Yeah. So absolutely. Hopefully, you know, we can make those ground, you know, lay that groundwork to help this industry thrive and survive, no matter who the manufacturer is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I want to talk about that real quick, and we are almost out of time here. But I do want to bring this up. Folks that are complacent or just, you know, completely on board with what's going on with some of this legislation, as unfortunate as that is, there are a lot of people that are just on board with it and aren't asking any questions about, you know, well, why is this in place or why is this going to be put in place? You know, you don't just stifle the growth of small businesses. You don't just stifle the growth of the drone industry as a whole. You effectively, and I'm not trying to be bombastic here, you effectively lose lives. there are a lot of first response units, police departments, fire departments, search and rescue outfits that are using DJI drones and drones that rely on Chinese manufactured technology to actively save lives. And there's something that DJI just recently implemented that I think people, if you haven't looked into it or you're not aware of just the widespread impact that DJI drones have on those situations, I encourage you to take a look at this map. Can you talk a little bit about the map that DJI developed to show just the efficacy of their drones when it comes to saving lives?
Absolutely. So we can start with the life save map where we're showing directly how first responders save lives with drones, whether it be deliverables, as I did as a fire chief, delivering life vests or other things in water rescues, using thermal imaging cameras on fires to wildland fires to building fires to more efficiently put them out quicker, safer, to finding, and this is one of the bigger ones, is finding missing people, autistic children specifically, that wander off in adverse climate conditions or two bodies of water, often the case. And we had one Connecticut police department, I believe it was, that within a year of purchasing their drone, almost to the day, saved the life of an autistic child who was near a body of water. And so with the drone lives map that Romeo Dershowitz and others tried to create that tried to show that impact, that direct impact, that's phenomenal. But I also like to take it another step forward in that those are our active quantifiable, our non-quantifiable are our passive lives saved that is across all industries. When you can take a drone and send it where you don't send a human, at height, inspecting a utility pole, more efficiently inspecting a connector. You know, we saw this was the case of Paradise Fire in California, where a faulty connector failed in high winds. It sparked a wildland fire that burned communities down, partly because of the difficulty in human inspection. Now we're doing this rapidly with drones or other industries where we're not having to put a human at risk. We can send us a robot, ground robot, or drone. That's breaking the chain of events in a lot of ways that is saving lives. And then when we talk about environmental impact and the threat that we have with our environment, our dock solution, utilizing our dock solution, as I've talked about, to inspect like a solar farm, we're making that energy, that renewable source of energy, so much more inexpensive because we're taking the personnel costs out of the equation by instead of having a person there on site having to do these inspections, we can fly with a drone. And now that frees that person to, rather than waste their personnel time doing that inspection, they can be making those repairs instead. And so repairs aren't delayed. And, eventually, as that becomes the dock solution becomes more adopted in, solar wind inspection, all these other things, we're going to see those costs of, not getting into it necessarily, but the per hour, unit hour costs, hopefully, stay down as that technology advances. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that drones can make our world a better place. And I could go on with more examples. I'm just excited to see what's coming next.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that DJI will be at the helm of what comes next. No matter how things play out in the United States, I do firmly believe, just based upon the innovation and the, like I said, efficacy of the products that DJI creates, that they will be a player for the foreseeable future in the world of drones. Wayne, we are out of time. So If anybody wants to get in contact with you, talk to you about DJI's products, anything that has to do with DJI, you know, where can they best contact you at?
Sure. I have a pretty easy compared to previous email addresses. It's Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E dot Baker, B-A-K-E-R, at DJI.com. And, you know, if you don't hear from me for a few days, please don't hesitate to email me and harass me. There's a lot of noise to get to break through. I apologize in advance. So.
No, yeah, Wayne is a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. So, but he is very easy to work with in terms of just, you know, getting stuff done. So, Wayne, I want to thank you for your time. I can't wait to have you back on the podcast. Maybe in the next few months here, we'll get you back on to talk about more updates. But appreciate your time today. Until next time, I'm Chris, the Drone Geek, here with the Droney Company Podcast. That's Wayne Baker of DJI. We're out of here. See you next time.